Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. We'll read verses 12 through verse 22. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he, Jesus, was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. He's speaking to the tree. And his disciples heard it. And they come to Jerusalem. Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he would not suffer or permit that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto him, Have faith in God. What we see here is the last week of Christ's earthly ministry prior to the cross. We want to take our thought tonight from verse 22, have faith in God. And that's our subject, have faith in God. This morning we spoke on Psalm 48:14, this God is our God. Jesus says, have faith in God. Before we get into this verse, this statement, need to consider the background leading up to the statement. Jesus and the apostles are on their way to Jerusalem. Beginning with verse 1 of chapter 11, we see that they come nigh unto Jerusalem. And we read there in verse 1, there were two cities, Bethphage and Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem. Jesus then sent two of his apostles into the village. With instruction concerning a specific colt that they would find tied, and they were to bring this colt unto Christ. We know the story. Jesus would ride the colt into Jerusalem, declaring himself to be king. And that, of course, is known as the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem. In verses 8 through verse 10 of this chapter, we see the response of the people as Jesus rides this colt into Jerusalem. They, of course, had been looking for a kingly deliverer. They were hoping that Jesus was that one. They had been dreaming of an earthly kingdom. So they line the street, great enthusiasm, great excitement. Some went before Christ and some followed after. And they're shouting, Hosanna, or Hallelujah. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Many of these, of course, would just in a few days be shouting, Crucify him. Crucify him. Jesus, of course, knew that. He knew that these very ones who are so excited, so enthused, singing Hosanna in the highest, would soon be yelling, Crucify him. Crucify him. So what lined the streets that day was spiritual emptiness. A lot of people in their ignorance think that the triumphal entry of Christ was just such a wonderful spiritual experience. It was nothing but hypocrisy. It was a scene of spiritual emptiness. It's a good picture of a mere shadow and form of the real thing. In verse 11, Jesus and the apostles arrive in Jerusalem. And they go into the temple. And it says that Jesus looked round about upon all things. And I believe he did so in disgust. So he looks about the temple. And looking around, he saw spiritual emptiness. He saw again the mere form and shadow of the real thing. And we read there in verse 11 that when eventide, that would be the start of the evening, was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. So he's entered the temple. He's now leaving the temple. We read on verse 12, and on the morrow, when they were come down from Bethany. So now it's the next day, and they're on their way to Jerusalem again. They're making their way to Jerusalem, as they're making their way to Jerusalem. In verse 13, Jesus sees a fig tree in the distance, having leaves. The fig tree is full in foliage. But when Christ and the apostles get to the fig tree, they found nothing but leaves. It's a very significant statement. He found nothing but leaves. So that fig tree was just a mere appearance of fruitfulness. Christ then pronounces a curse upon that tree. And notice the statement there in verse 14, and his disciples, the 12, heard it. Jesus speaking to that tree, they heard what he said. The next thing we read is in verse 15, and they've arrived again into the temple. And in verses 15 through 17, Jesus, beholding their spiritual hypocrisy and the emptiness of mere religion that was everywhere in the temple, he overturns the tables and he rebukes the people. In verse 18, we see the effect that this had upon the people. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. It's still so today. People get upset when you call attention to the emptiness of the religion. That's even so in Baptist churches. You get up and preach on emptiness and formality in Baptist churches, there are not a whole lot of people that's going to appreciate it because they're guilty. They're guilty. For they feared him because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. Then in verse 19, Jesus and the apostles again leave the temple. And when even was come, he went out of the city. So as they're heading back, they again come to the place of the fig tree. And in the morning, verse 20, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, remember, they heard what he said to the tree. Peter remembered. And he saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. It's all shriveled. It's all dried up. And that represented what filled the temple. That fig tree represents the mere outward display of religion. The mere outward display of religion with all of its ceremony. Again, concerning the fig tree, we read in verse 13, having leaves, nothing but leaves. And the entire religious system of Jerusalem had the leaves of formality, had the leaves of appearance, but were barren. That's all they had. They were barren of the real thing. They had all the frills. They had all the ornamentation of a form of godliness. But they did not have the impact and the influence of the real thing. It was all surface. The whole religious system. As you follow the earthly ministry of Christ, you see that Jesus had a great problem with the religious system of his day. You follow through the Old Testament, you see that God has a real problem with the religious system. He has a real problem with mere surface religion. And I believe the Lord still is appalled by all the ceremony and the emptiness. You see, the religious system of that day, they knew theory. And they had religious opinion. But they had no substance. Nothing but leaves. Nothing but leaves. And what they had was all man-manufactured. Product of their own hearts and minds. So their spirituality, their so-called spirituality, was a sham. And it was a complete failure. Again, having leaves, nothing but leaves. The outward appearance of fruit, but nothing but leaves. Jesus responding to Peter's statement that Peter made in verse 21, said in the hearing of the apostles, said to Peter, but in hearing of all of them, have faith in God. So that statement has to be taken with, in the context of, the fig tree. Peter made this statement concerning the fig tree. Jesus' response is, have faith in God. How does that fit? Well, I believe those words are a word of warning. Have faith in God, lest you become that fig tree. I believe they're words of instruction. If you're going to escape what the fig tree represents, the mere form and shadow of the real thing, Have faith in God. For you and I that are saved, the way to avoid and prevent spiritual emptiness and formality and that which is merely surface, have faith in God. That's the answer. If we want more than theory, if we want more than illusion, have faith in God. If you want to avoid meaningless, futile, ineffective, inconsequential form of spirituality, have faith in God. That's the key. Have faith in God. Now, the religious world would have you to believe that everyone that's of that system has faith in God. Baloney. Most of them don't even know God. Have faith in God. The way for spirituality to be real, the way for spirituality to be useful, have faith in God. The way to blossom spiritually, have faith in God. So Jesus, what he says here, is the way to rise above mere religion. Have faith in God. We also want to make application. The way to rise above your circumstances, the way to rise above all that is around you in life, is found in these words. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. So this is Christ's call to faith. Have faith in God. So let's consider what this call means, what it is. First of all, it is a call to focus upon God. Hear Jesus say, have faith in God. What's he doing? Is he not calling their attention to God? Peter makes a statement concerning the fig tree. Jesus does not expound upon the fig tree. In fact, he draws their attention away from the fig tree to God. Have faith in God. God is the central focus of these words. Have faith in God. So he directs our attention to the very fact of God. Have faith in God. That means a lot of things. It means to keep God in view. You can't have faith in God if he's not in view. It means not to lose sight of God. That was the whole problem with the religious system. It was detached from God. That's the problem with the religious system today. It is detached from God. And what Jesus is saying is, don't lose sight of God. It's easy to get caught up and to become so accustomed to formalities. And Baptists have their formalities. Catholics have their formalities. The problem is people get so caught up in the formalities, they lose sight of God. And Jesus is giving warning here. Have faith in God. He is saying, recognize and acknowledge God. Faith recognizes God. Faith acknowledges God. He is saying, always be mindful of Him. Faith is mindful of God. Faith is thinking God. He says, have faith in God. It is a call to focus upon God. We're not to focus upon our circumstances, where our focus is to be God. And we'll prevent ourselves a lot of problems if we stay focused upon God. Secondly, it is a call to be connected to God. Notice, have faith, and then notice that next word, in God. Have faith in God. There's a connection to God. Have faith in God. It is present tense, continuous action. Christ is not merely saying, believe that there is a God. You don't find that anywhere in the Word of God. Believe that there is a God. You can ask someone, do you believe there is a God? Yes, well, there's a believer. That's about how it is today. Christ is not merely saying, believe there's a God. Everyone in that temple believed there was a God. The whole religious system believed there was a God. Christ is speaking of something more than mental assent to the fact of God. Have faith in God. You think of everything that faith is. And that's what Jesus is saying. He is saying again, recognize and acknowledge God. Believe God. Faith is believing. Not just believing in a God, but believing God. Have faith in God. Believe God. Faith is agreement with God. He is saying, be in agreement with God. Believe it or not, the religious system of our day, for the most part, is in disagreement with God. Be firmly persuaded in God. Have full confidence in God. Depend upon God. Have unreserved trust in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God means be committed to God. Be surrendered to God. Lean upon God. Rest upon God. Cleave to God. Have faith in God. That means look to God. It means turn to God. It means cast yourself upon God. It means embrace God. It means to live in the reality of God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. That is acting upon who and what God is. Believe who God is. Believe what God is. Now conduct your life accordingly. Have faith in God. This is the way to avoid mere formality. But for you and I, it's the way to rise above circumstances, situations. Have faith in God. To have faith means, to have faith in God means that we are continually gripped by who and what God is. Have faith in God. It is a call for a continual personal connection to God. You can talk to some people and they'll say, oh, I've always believed God. Or I've always believed in God. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. It's not just a mere knowledge of. It's not a mental assent to the fact of God. It's much more than that. It's a personal connection to Him. Have faith in God. That's a very reasonable statement. The reasonableness of it is seen in what faith is. The Bible tells us that faith consists of seeing. It said of Moses in Hebrews 11:27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, has seen him who is invisible. Seeing him who is invisible by faith. So when Jesus says, have faith in God, what he's saying is, see God. See God. You want to rise above circumstances? You want to rise above the times in which we live? See God. Have faith in God. Faith consists of knowledge. Faith's not based in ignorance. Faith consists of knowledge. And when Jesus says, have faith in God, he's saying, know God. Know God. Know Him. Not just of Him, but know Him. Faith consists of persuasion. He is saying, be confident and assured in God. Faith consists of anticipation. He is saying, expect God. Expect God. Expect God to act. Expect it. Look for Him. Expect God. Faith is assent. He is saying, agree with God. You're in bad shape if you're in disagreement with God. And you don't have to wonder who's wrong. If you're in disagreement with God, you're wrong. You're not only wrong, you're just not right. Anywhere. Agree with God. Faith is an approach to God. So when he says, have faith in God, he's telling these apostles, approach God. Draw near to God. Faith is laying hold upon God. Get a grip upon God. So the reasonableness of it is seen in what faith is. And of course, the reasonableness of it is seen in who God is. Have faith in God. He's the sovereign one. He's the one who's in complete control of all people, all things, and all circumstances. Have faith in God. He's the Almighty One, the always able one. Have faith in God. God works. What I mean by that is you can't do better than God. God's way works. Always has, always will. Well, you know, brother so-and-so thinks. Really? I really don't care what brother so-and-so thinks if it's contrary to God. Need to realize that He's the able one. He's the all-knowing one. He knows everything there is to know. Everything there is to know about your past, present, and future. This makes sense. Have faith in God. He's the loving one. Always has your best interest in mind. Have faith in God. Well, so-and-so, they're a good friend of mine. Let me tell you something. Friends don't always have your best interest in mind. Have faith in God. He always has our best interest. He's the faithful one. Always true to His word. He's everywhere present. Have faith in God. He has everything that you need, everything that you ever will need. Have faith in God. Continue always at all times to have faith in God. This is very practical instruction. It's very functional. When you get up in the morning, have faith in God. When you walk through the day, have faith in God. In times of weakness and times of strength, have faith in God. In times of joy and times of sadness, have faith in God. In times of rest or in times of difficulty and struggle, have faith in God. In times of health or in times of sickness and affliction, have faith in God. In times of abundance or in times of destitution, have faith in God. In the presence of friends or in the presence of enemies, have faith in God. When you're in a storm or when it's all calm, have faith in God. You see, this works no matter what the circumstance. Have faith in God. When you're way up on the mountaintop, have faith in God. When you're way down in the depths, have faith in God. That's always the answer. Have faith in God. And then I want to say that this is beneficial advice. It'll never hurt you to have faith in God. Never. It won't ruin your life. You go contrary to Him, you may very well ruin your life. You may not, because God is merciful. But you won't harm your life by having faith in God. You see, faith is the root of the Christian life. How much we live, you think about the Christian life. Think about everything that's involved in that life. And every bit of it is in proportion to our faith. You can't separate it. How much we live in the awareness of God depends upon our faith. Our degree of dedication, our degree of commitment and surrender to God is in proportion to our faith. Our ambition for God, our pursuit of God is linked to our faith. Our degree of nonconformity to the world is in proportion to our faith. Our degree of transformation to Christ is in proportion to our faith. Our degree of serving the Lord is linked to faith. Obedience is linked to faith. Following the Lord is linked to faith. Our prayer life is linked to faith. Our love for the Lord, our enjoyment of the Lord, linked to faith. Our peace, our assurance, our zeal, our worship, our endurance, all linked to faith. Everything about us, everything about the life that God has called us to live has to do with faith. And Jesus says, have faith in God. Our establishment in the matters of God are in proportion to our faith. Our prosperity spiritually, our spiritual prosperity is in proportion to our faith. Have faith in God. We, of course, live in a very dark world, a world that's full of trouble, testing, trials, world of struggles, world of needs, a world filled with evil, filled with wickedness. And Jesus says, have faith in God. Because it's this faith that will make the invisible visible. It is this faith that gives stability and enables you to stand. Have faith in God. It gives courage. It gives resolve. It gives determination and perseverance and endurance. Have faith in God. It'll keep you near Him. I can't have faith in God and be detached from Him. I can't have faith in God and be far from Him. Faith implies a nearness to God. Have faith in God. That'll keep your heart tender and responsive to Him. You get detached from God, you will be hard-hearted. And the Word of God does not move you. The things of God do not move that individual. But if you have faith, ongoing faith in God, that keeps the heart tender, that keeps the heart responsive. Have faith in God. That'll keep your mind upon Him. It'll keep your feet following Him. It'll keep you praying. It'll keep you in His Word. It'll keep you from sin. Have faith in God. It'll give you strength. It'll give you comfort. It'll give you joy. It'll give you peace. Have faith in God. There's power there. There's vitality there. Have faith in God. These are the words of Jesus Christ. There's great enabling power in faith. Have faith in God. It's what keeps you from being mastered and controlled and governed by circumstances. Just simple stubbornness will not keep you from being mastered and controlled and governed by circumstances. But faith will. Faith in God will keep you from being mastered, from becoming a slave to your circumstances, or to anything else. You see, this have faith in God is what allows us to sit at Jesus' feet. It's what allows us to lean upon His bosom. Have faith in God. It'll keep the clutter out of your life. It'll keep life from getting in the way. Life has overtaken the lives of most. I don't know if that makes sense. I know what I mean. But life gets in the way. Life is filled with clutter. Life is filled with a lot of things that just aren't necessary. Have faith in God. That'll keep the clutter out of your life. It'll keep life from getting in the way. I've witnessed it time and time and time again. It gets more and more common all the time. You've seen it. People can't come to the house of God. They'll have a list of 100 things. And what's sad is they think that list is legitimate. They really do. They think that gives them a pass on serving the Lord. Because they have grandkids to tend to. They have children to tend to. They have this. They have that. Have faith in God. That'll keep all the nonsense out of your life. Have faith in God will enable you to bow and worship God no matter what. Have faith in God. And when Jesus made that statement, I believe He was telling the apostles how not to become the religious system. How to overcome. How to rise above the mere formality and show of outward religion. But again, the application goes so much further. That would be the strict context. But the application is the way to rise above is have faith in God. It's no wonder that the apostles prayed, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Faith needs to grow. And it grows by using it. It grows by living it. It's not just a magical seed. The more faith we have, the more faith we will have. Have faith in God. To have faith in God means that you are going to do things that make no sense to human reasoning whatsoever. God doesn't act in a line with human reason all the time. And all these people that, you know, everything's a decision for them. They'll make a list. Pluses and minuses. After you make your list, throw it away. Because it doesn't mean a thing. Go ahead and make your list if it makes you feel better. But have enough sense to throw it away. Because it means nothing. Have faith in God. Your list may be 100 negatives and no positives. And God may be saying, this is what I want you to do. Have faith in God. Well, it don't make sense. It doesn't have to. Have faith in God. Well, God wouldn't do such and such. And what are you basing that on? Unless you're basing it on God's word, then you have no grounds. Have faith in God. That's good advice. It's good advice from Jesus Christ himself. Have faith in God. How do we do that? Well, that would be another message. But we have to go to him. We have to pray that he would give us the faith. I don't have it naturally. He has to give it. It's a gift. Saving faith is a gift. And I believe living faith is a gift as well. We have to go to him. Lord, increase my faith. And I've heard preachers say, and I've heard many God's people say, well, I would never pray for faith because you're just asking for trials. Then you'll never serve the Lord either. You never will. You'll never be serious about the Lord. Have faith in God. Here we are again in these times. These are, again, difficult times, times of struggle, mental struggles, just a time of struggle. Have faith in God. See God. See God. You know, there was a tornado that went through Arkansas, I think last night. Ripped through a mall. Nobody was in it. Because of the virus. Weren't for not for the virus, who knows? You just don't know what God's doing. But to have faith in God. Brother Tim, if you come and just lead us in verse song.